Donna Daniel, and I am joined here with our co-host, Minister Gloria Vasquez and Minister Belinda McKenzie, and we're here to share a kingdom-mandated message on the topic, the signs of the times and the end of the age. And we're coming out of Matthew 24, verses 6 through 9 today. And if you want to, you can go back and listen to episode number 1, where we talked about Matthew 24, verses 1 through 5. And you can catch up with us as we're going through this Matthew 24 series that we're doing. And as you know, in Matthew 24, the disciples came to Jesus asking him to disclose the things that were to come, and the signs of his coming, and the end of the age. And Jesus responds back to them with details that reveal what every person on the earth should know now in this kingdom hour. So join us as we gain insights of what the kingdom mandate must be now without delay. And we're also going to be sharing the solution to all of this. So we're not bringing this to bring you into a state of fear. We're bringing this message to make you to be aware and be alert and be ready for the coming of our Lord and Savior, because he did tell us, he said, the signs of the times and the end of this age. And he also gave signs when he would be coming, when he's coming. So we need to be prepared. But before we begin, we're going to start off with prayer and welcome the presence of the Holy Ghost to be with us, because without God, we can do nothing. But with him, all things are possible. So we're inviting you in, Abba Father, to be here with us now, O Lord, to speak to us, to speak through us, O Lord, to open up minds, open up spirits, and open up souls, and bring them into in tune with your kingdom, O Father. And not by the words that we say, but the words that you utter through us. So we ask that you speak through us, Father. Let us be a vessel of mercy and a vessel of honor to be used unto your glory, and that your mandate will be filled in the earth, O Lord, and that people will know that there is a true and living God. Your Son still lives in here at the right hand of the Father, ruling, reigning, and as the advocate on our behalf. And we love him for that. We love you. And we ask, O Father, that you rule and reign in our lives on the foundation of our hearts in this very hour. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So I'm welcoming Minister Belinda McKenzie, and also we have with us Minister Gloria Vasquez, and we're going to share again some awesome insight to the Word of God. And we want to divide the Word rightly. We want to share the Word of God, but we want to divide it rightly in its context, and we want to share the scripture as it is, as the Lord would have it revealed in this hour. So I'm going to start reading from Matthew 24, verse 6, and it says, "Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet, for nation shall rise against nation, in kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrow." And last week we read the whole scripture, and I invite you to take time to do that as well. But we're going to be here for a little less than an hour today, so we want to go right into sharing what the Lord was saying. What is he saying when he says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars"? At the time of the Lord sharing this with the disciples, who was asking him to do so at that time, we find that there really was not any wars going on at that time, whereas, you know, a lot of people will say, no, he's only talking to Israel at that time. He wasn't talking to us. He wasn't speaking of the future time. He was only talking to Israel at that time. But we know that this word, the word of God, is for edification for the soul, and it's for everyone. And the Lord has the seasons and times, so you can read the word of God, and it can be applicable to you, based on how the word sets with you and the Holy Ghost is revealing, bringing revelation to you. And the Lord is saying here in the word of God, he says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that ye be not troubled." So he's also given an indication in verse 6 that we should not be troubled. It's more like a command, because he has "see" at the beginning, which is the verb. So it's not like, if you think about it, be not troubled, or if you don't want to feel, if you feel like it, don't be troubled. He's saying, "See that ye be not troubled." And in that hour, so all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So we do see wars and rumors of wars, and we do hear about them often on a daily basis. It's actually going on in many parts of the world right now. And the Lord did say that we will hear about them. And he said there will also be rumors of wars. We have a lot of rumors of wars, and they have been going on for some time now. Minister Gloria, what are your thoughts about that and verse 6, Matthew 24?
Well, I think that, you know, it's important to clarify that here there are two questions going on. But in the minds of the disciples, these two things are as one and the same. And yet Jesus is talking about two separate events. And so when the disciples are questioning the Lord in Matthew, when they questioned Jesus and they said in Matthew 24:1-3, so that, here we have the scenario that Jesus leaves the temple and he's walking with the disciples as they come up to him to call his attention to the buildings. They're looking at these beautiful buildings, at these beautiful structures, and they say, "Do you see all these things?" He asked. And this is Jesus talking, and the disciples were trying to get his attention to look at the beautiful buildings, and he says, "Do you see all these things? I tell you the truth that not one stone here will be left on another. Every one of them will be torn down." And as Jesus was sitting at the Mount of Olives soon after that, again, the disciples talked to him privately. And they say to him, "Tell us," they said. He just mentioned to them that all this is going to be destroyed. And they said to him, "Tell us, when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming?" So here they're associating the destruction of the temple with the end of the age. So they're putting these two events together incorrectly. And so in his answer, and again, this is stressed again in Mark 24:13, "Tell us when will these things be and what will be the sign when all these things are going to be fulfilled." So the issue here is that Jesus is, number one, trying to clarify for them these events. And number two, he's trying to calm their fears about the end times and the things that will happen. So that's my take on this portion of it.
Okay, very good. I'm sure that we have a whole lot more to share about this, but let's get your thoughts on this as well, Minister Belinda, as the Lord is leading you.
Yes. What he tells them, you know, you're going to hear. So you're going to hear rumors, but they won't be actually wars, but there'll be rumors. And then there will actually be wars and nations, you know, against nations. And if you go back into biblical times, Syria has always had conflicts, you know, and the tribe of the Midianites were constantly fighting against God's people. So there were somewhat war. It might not have been wars, but there were conflicts. Mm-hmm. And you see some of this stuff has been going on for years.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see these wars, he was telling them that this stuff will come. You know, there's going to be pestilence, earthquakes, and we see it today. And I think this applies mm-hmm. to every generation.
Mm-hmm.
It because God says, you know, it's from the beginning to the end. But but the Lord says in this scripture here, let me get it to him. He says, "Ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." And I can relate to that because when they show the pictures of Yemen and all the buildings destroyed before the buildings were destroyed, the community. It was a beautiful community. And to see that kind of destruction and all these children dying and these people suffering, you know,
mm-hmm.
if I had not had the anchor of God's word, he said, "Be not troubled." because these things will come to pass. So you take comfort in knowing that all of these, the word of God is his word. We can't change it. We can't move it. These events
mm-hmm.
will take place. And you have
mm-hmm.
to stay understanding that God said, but the end is not yet.
Yeah.
But it's the beginning of sorrows. And it is sorrowful to see these events happening. You know, if I didn't have the word of God, because it bothered me to see this kind of destruction.
Mm-hmm.
But God has already
mm-hmm.
said this. I
mm-hmm.
look at the events of Jim Jones, a false
mm-hmm.
prophet. You know, telling
wow.
people, "Well, this occurred." No, but if you have the word in you, you understand. No, the time is not yet, but there will be a
mm-hmm.
time, but no man know it. And the scripture, the first one. The first verse where he said the temple. And I remember when God, I read this, and God said, they really didn't understand to the fullness when he said one stone will, every stone will be unturned. Not one would remain. That was something man-made. But
mm-hmm.
how can you build something new on something old?
Mm.
That was something
mm-hmm.
that was built by man, and they were saying, how can you say that? We took 40 years. It's irrelevant to God, because God is the great I am, and when he speaks something, he speaks it with death. That one stone, nothing would remain.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus was coming to do a new thing. A new covenant, new testament. I mean, the beginning is the same. He didn't come to not fulfill the word of God. But every piece was connected. Just like they built every stone connected. But he was given revelation. A new temple was going to be built. One not by man's hands. And that he would be the cornerstone.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, can you, I mean, because I'm not seeing it during the times of the gospel, during Jesus' lifetime, right there, any written record of there being war at the time of Jesus' time being on the earth. I might be missing something.
I don't mean a war. I don't mean a war,
mm-hmm.
just the conflicts between the tradition
Syria.
And
mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
there were no wars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the religious struggles, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
war
so
with, you know, each
I
other,
think,
not wars.
Go ahead.
I don't think that Jesus was necessarily referring to any war in his particular day. I think, you know, his mindset is very different from what the disciples are referring to. Jesus
right.
is looking, they're asking, when will the end come? And I think Jesus is taking everything into consideration from the time that he was with them until the time of the end.
Yes.
And he's talking not
yes.
necessarily... he's speaking to them in their person, they're present there with him, but he is addressing the church, knowing that all of this is going to be written in the scriptures for the entire church. And
mm-hmm.
so Jesus is saying, you will hear wars and rumors of wars, and all of this must happen.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus is referring to speaking
mm-hmm.
to the entire church throughout the church age.
Mm-hmm.
So he's talking for... prophetically
mm-hmm.
toward an extended period of time beyond his being with the disciples and beyond the lives of the disciples, the original disciples. He's talking to the disciples of all the church until the end of the age.
Amen. Amen. So I think each one of us all pretty much agree on that, that
yes.
he's speaking of different time zones there. And but the one thing he said, because he wasn't really applying it directly to them in verse 5, he said, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ." And then he said, "And shall deceive many." So
yeah.
He wasn't speaking directly to the disciples nor the Israel directly at that time, because he said many, which
many,
implies
yeah.
that there could be several in the indication that he's speaking to the future, the now, and you know, what is to come, rather, the future, the present, and the you know, the now, all
yeah.
the same, rather, you know, present and the future, all the same. So also,
yes.
you know, in this, and ye shall hear wars, and then he breaks it down, rumors of wars. So some of these are facts as being wars, and
yeah.
it sounds like some of these are rumors that are spreading out. And do you know, right now we kind of see those things. Let's talk about what we see right now that is happening as far as actual wars. You mentioned Syria. That, as you said, that nation has really been in turmoil for years. And we know also, too, we could even make reference to the old biblical maps in comparison to where Syria is right now, but we don't want to go that deep. But let's talk about this, because there has been wars in Syria for many, many years, and we have to wonder why. Why did those wars come about? Why was Syria in particular? Because Turkey, Syria, you know, Egypt, and the Arabias and some of these places has been in Israel, what is known as Israel right now. Israel has been at war.
Uh-huh.
We understand Israel's position, but why Syria? Would anyone like to share in that area? Well, let's just talk about the fact that that may be another point that we may need to look at, to break down the areas of the wars that the wars, you know, are happening in. But let's look at, you know, the current wars that are out there. It appears to me that they're increasing. They're not decreasing. That
yeah.
is increasing. They're long-term wars. What do you think is the challenges here that is coming about this, bringing all of these things into fruition? Minister Gloria.
Well, on one hand, I think the establishment of power, and that would be true for all of the countries historically, the taking of the land and the just expansion, wanting power, wanting control. I think this is true of most of the countries around the world. I think that's basically the gist of it, just the wanting power and control, wanting to be independent from the countries around them. The issues of border expansion, those would be reasons for war. And, of course, there are the influences of different leaders throughout the world, bringing political influences, religious influences, economic power, the seeking of minerals and natural minerals and resources, the wanting control of the people in other countries. So all of these could be reasons.
I totally agree with you. And Minister Belinda,
yes, I'll go back to the root, that it's a war,
mm-hmm.
a demonic war. It's a war against
yes.
good and evil,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
mm.
the lack of God within
mm-hmm.
man, you know, because greed, if you look at what they're doing and why they're doing it, it's a lot of it's out of greed, control, power, self-fulfillment, You know, it's not the Spirit of God. And as long as man has these traits that are not of God, they're not coming from a sense of righteousness and humanity of Christ. So you're going to think it's okay to kill people and have no conscience so you can control their resources. You're not going to humble yourself to pray, should I enter into war? Because any war that God did was righteous. And those that prayed to him, he told them when to go and not to. So there's a, and because God said that there will be movements and wars, but are they the wars of God? Or of man? And as long as there's light and darkness, darkness cannot abide in light. It has no correction. It has no desire to look to the light. So you're going to have these wars. You know, God knows the nature of man. when they decided to go in these wars that weren't of God, God came back, you know, and gave victory to his people. They were praying. They sought God first. And when you don't seek God first, you're going to have nothing but confusion.
Yeah, I think that's a deep thing right there, is that most
America's
of the time...
It's no longer seeking God. It's more about self-love and power, deceitful and unrighteous and perverted power. And his word says, if you walk in this, you're gonna have certain things that are going to come because the word won't lie.
Well, you know, I want to just point something there. I agree with you that we do have some challenges with leaders in most countries at this time that are seeking to have control and have more and abundance. And I believe that one of the biggest challenges are, you know, like one point you made there, you said that greed, I think both of you pointed out greed and for resources and for power to control, because it's always a thought that, you know, if we possess the land, we have more wealth, we have more control. If we have the water resources, if we take over the, you know, now it's more so the diamonds and the oil and some of these things, but back in the time of the Romans, a lot of their reasons for possessing that area was because there was abundance of water, there was abundance of metal, you know, for certain territories of what was originally the seat of Japheth. They needed the metal, the steel to build with. So to create weapons, you know, what they would say, weapons of destruction now. But I think any form of weapon in the eyes of God is a weapon of destruction, you know. They were taken back then. They were taking, blacksmiths were creating swords and different other type of weapons, but they were used to destroy. So I think any type of weapon is a weapon of destruction. But the question is that did God say to use those weapons? That would be to everyone out there that's playing a role in war right now. Did God tell them to do it? And I think the problem is that no one did seek the face of God. And the way that they did seek it is that one person stands up and say, well, the word of God is saying this, so the prophetic word is that this is what we're going to do at this time and this season. And nobody really knows, can discern the times and seasons, because Jesus said it's only given unto God. So it's the mysteries of the kingdom of God is revealed through the prophets, but
I don't know one real prophet that really is seeking the Lord ever said that, oh, it's time for us to go to war. They did it based on prophetic words that were declared in future stance by the Word of God, but it's not, and they set the time and said, we're in this time and we're in this season. And they went by that and said it's the time for war. But the Bible says, according to the Bible, we're actually in a different season, you know, where there's a different change of hands and rule, but it's going to come by God. It's not going to come by the works of man's hands. So what are you guys thought on that? I mean, there's so many people getting up and saying, a leader stand up and say, you know, well, war over here because this person said that, and it's kind of like tit for tat, you know, type thing. And like I'm a child, so, you know, he hit me, so I got to hit him back, you know. That's not a declaration of war by God. When David went out, he said, I'm coming with the Lord of hosts. But it was one that the Lord had ordained when they were going up against the Philistines, because the Philistines were coming against Israel. So God said, now go out, you know. But they didn't go out when God didn't say go out. Every time David went out, he sought the Lord. He grabbed the told him to bring the oracle so he can hold on to it, and he prayed and he sought the Lord for an answer before he embarked out, you know. So what is going on now with these wars? People just running out and doing things. What are your thoughts on that, Minister Gloria?
Well,
the
time we got war against them, and
of wickedness in the heavenly places, mm-hmm. and that's where we are today in terms of war. Our war is a spiritual war.
Yes.
And that's where we need to fight, and that's why we need so hard to fight.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord doesn't call us to for nation to rise against nation, or to take battle and start to arm ourselves against other people. That's not what the battle is about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I totally agree with you there. We definitely are facing a spiritual battle, and I believe the enemy is stirring the pot. I'm not looking at men when I say that, but I believe that the enemy, the ultimate spiritual enemy, is stirring the pot in the souls of men to increase the war in the land. And that's why I say I think it's important for the leaders to get down on their knees and seek the Lord for the answer, instead of relying on or seek the revelation from men and women of God, even Pharaoh. You know, even Pharaoh, when he had a dream, he started seeking out someone to bring revelation of his dream. Nebuchadnezzar did that as well. He didn't just start saying, this is what the dream is. Let us destroy everything in the territory, you know, out of fear. He began to seek the Lord for revelation, and he said, let us find people in the land that can give us that revelation. But if we allow, you know, there was a time when David, King David, he made a mistake in the eyes of God, because he numbered Israel based on an agent of Satan. And God did not tell him to do that, and it caused wrath on the whole country because of that one decision. And so, but David, knowing God, he went and he repented. He cried out at the threshing floor, and the Lord opened his eyes to see the angel. So I think it's a matter of seeking the Lord at this time, these leaders in all of these countries, to start seeking the Lord on their decisions, and because lest they know what is stirring in their soul, what is giving them the revelation to go out and do these things, and it's causing more chaos in the land. Because if it's the Lord who ordains something, it, you know, his power and his might will destroy the yoke of the enemy immediately, and it's settled. Minister Belinda, please share your thoughts on that.
Yes, because those that sought God and those that he put in power, you know, like you said, David, he went before God. There's a headship. That's not true. Jesus could have ran around doing whatever he wanted to do, but he had a headship, and he was Lord himself, but he was submissive unto God. Okay, so when David went, God gave David direction. There's always direction. There's always an order to God. And when he sought him, he told him, I will give you the victory. There was designated times the angels will go before you. Those times, the angel destroyed the army. They didn't even have, when they got there, it was already done. And it was to destroy evil. Not our interpretation of evil, but what God considered evil. And like you said, it was done. I heard one man say, well, God gave us the right to have war. That was taken out of context. Did you search that scripture to find out? It's not my because you're angry or you have some kind of pride and you just want to say this and I'm going to destroy these people. That's not Christ.
And nor is it out of fear. But we want to move on to, amen. And we kind of hit on these things too in 7. It says, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famine and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. You know, before we go, you guys share your thoughts on this. What I want to point out too, you know, in some mindsets, in some environments, when you talk about fear, they'll say, you know, they teach that there is a good sense of fear. But as a Christian, if you're a Christian and you're listening out there, when you're talking about fear, there is a good sense of fear when it's in the awe of God. It's not that fear where something's getting ready to destroy me, so I need to act out and I need to make plans and I need to implement something if the Lord haven't given you that fear. Okay? So it's not that, okay, there's a sense of good fear. Yeah, that when it's in the awe of God, there is a good sense of fear. Because when it's in the awe of God, that means that you'll humble yourself before him. And you will be obedient to him. And you will not be subjected to the voice of man. You will be subjected to the voice of God first. So I'm going to let you guys share in that area, starting with Minister Belinda, please.
You're right there. He says he doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but a sound mind, yeah, sound spirit. And reverence, it says to fear God. The first part of wisdom is to fear God, but not to walk in fear that you don't make the right decision. Even like the sense that God gives you. I remember telling somebody, I said, God gives you wisdom if you'll listen. You could be in an environment, and the senses that's within you that God created will quicken you. You don't even have to experience the evil that may be around you. But God will quicken you, saying, you need to leave from here. He didn't say fear. He said get up and leave. Or when a person comes within your boundaries and God shows you, the spirit that that person is carrying could cause bodily harm to you. Don't fear. Because whatever God tells you, he makes a way for you to move out of it. So, I mean, he doesn't give us a spirit of fear. He gives us knowledge and wisdom. You know, when he told I think it was Paul, I'm not sure, when they went into that camp, and Rahab, the lady, he told them, she said, go and get in the basket, escape, and then to tie that piece of garment up there that her family would survive. Well, I mean, she didn't do it in fear. Instructions was given to her. They were going to come in and destroy these people, but her household wouldn't be saved.
Yeah,
you know, that's
absolutely.
My take on that. You know, people get afraid of seeing dreams and visions because for the lack of knowledge. Well, that dream scared me. But if you look by the Spirit of God and let God decipher it, it may be a dream to protect you what's coming to your door.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Now, let's talk about these, Minister Gloria, let's talk about these famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in diverse places. You know, before we had minimum famines in the land, pestilences, earthquakes, and I'm not just referring to the United States, but I'm looking from a global perspective. But now, the earthquakes have increased substantially, especially this year. Almost every month there has been an earthquake. The pestilences, you know, the plague, the diseases, the various things that are going on. And there's other scriptures that we can go to in the Bible where it shows that there were going to be like man-made pestilences. We have famine. Going on around the world. We have famines for the word of God, famines for food, famines, and, you know, we have problems with water. What are your thoughts about this at this time?
Well, you know, I'm thinking that part of it has to do with a sinful humanity, and it's not necessarily a sign of the times. Just last night I was watching the president as he was speaking and addressing the UN Council, and so was the Prime Minister of Israel. And they were talking about stopping, one of the things they were talking about was stopping North Korea from proceeding with this nuclear aspirations that they have. But they went into a lot of other things as well, warning world leaders about pursuing wars and encouraging them to have peace around the world, and that really is the only way for everyone to be able to exist, so that we're not all constantly under the threat of war. And so these things that are happening, the famines that we hear of, how easily that could be taken care of if the nations would get together and say those that have surplus food, and there are many nations that have surplus, will provide food for those that don't. We hear constantly of some countries that have many resources, and their resources and their natural minerals, you know, just one rich person or one rich company from another country can come in and take all the resources and the natural minerals and mine them out from a poor country and leave them with nothing. And how much better it would be if the country got together and if we really provided for each other and did a fair exchange good. So a lot of this can be prevented if the world would have a different mindset, a different worldview about how to get along and how to share and be in peace. So not all of it has to do with the signs of the times, but a lot of it just has to do with man's essential state. On the other hand, concerning the sign of the times, the Lord said these things have to be. These things will take place. He was warning us of things, but he was telling us that so that we wouldn't fear. I was reading some of the scriptures here, such as, for instance, 2 Chronicles 15:6. It says, "Nation was crushed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every kind of distress." And perhaps, you know, they have brought on the wrath of God by their sinfulness. God demands a holy standard. And he is, he has powers over the powers of this world. Isaiah 13:13, it says, "Therefore, I will make the heavens tremble, and the earth will be shaken from its place." He's talking about the entire earth. The earth will be shaken from its place at the fury of the Lord of hosts in the day of his burning anger. So is God involved in some of this? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And I think man has to be accountable and take notice of God on the one hand, and who God is and what his standard of holiness is, and on the other hand, take account of himself, humanity, and the actions of humanity and how they interact with the holiness of God and what it means and their position as the creation of God. And are they honoring God? Do they bring glory to God? Have they destroyed his earth? Have they destroyed his humanity? Have they destroyed the things that he never intended for them to destroy? He gave it to them to be stewards. He gave it to them to enjoy. He gave it to them as gifts, and they have taken in their own pursuits. They have done what they thought was good in their own eyes, and not the things that God intended. So they have, by their actions, come against the plans of God, and if they come against the plans of God, then they will feel the wrath of God.
Yes, I totally agree, and I like the way that you introduced it and brought it into the correct perspective.
Yes.
The final is that, because we're going to move into the solution to all of this as well. As we said, we want to talk about the solution because, and you did bring that out some. But before we do that, Minister Belinda, can you please share your thoughts on that about the pestilences and the famines and the earthquakes as the Lord is
yes.
leading?
Mm-hmm. Like she said, some of it's God, some of it's man. Because we
mm-hmm.
have the intelligence that God gave in the beginning when he put man over the Garden of Eden and gave them authority
mm-hmm.
to name all the animals and all of that. That intelligence is power. But if it's not guided in the proper respect, it can do so much destruction. We have technology that no nation should have to be without food. We got the power to take a desert and make it into a multiple bounty field of food. We have the technology to take salt water and make it into drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
So the ability is, and as she says, we have come away from God and the lack of humanity for our brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And they can... boundaries and borders more important than human life.
Yeah.
So you got God in a portion when man will turn away from God and no longer seek him. for that humanity, for that compassion. You know, when Jesus died on that cross, he said it was done. He did away with all of this stuff. But we can't, the only way it's not going to come to pass, I think that scripture is there because God knew the nature of man.
Mm-hmm.
Kingdom will rise against kingdom. But is God causing them to rise against each other? But, I mean, where does love come from? It doesn't come from us. It comes right on the cross. And if we don't seek God, none of us knew how to love. We had a form of love. We thought we had a form of righteousness. Well, you know, Lord, I do this and I do that. But when you come to Christ, he tells you, no, this is my love. This is my humanity. And it makes you see your brother as Christ. You're not going to hurt that person. You're not going to not see somebody hungry and not feed them. So everything that Mrs. Velasco has said is right. All of those dimensions. And all of that can be resolved if we'll listen. Hating each other is craziness. And we know that God is not the spirit of hate. We can live on this planet.
Go ahead.
How many atom bombs are we going to have?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes, absolutely. I think that we all are coming to the solution that is needed for this, especially in this hour, and that is the love of Christ. And without us having a relationship with Christ, it would be very difficult to exhibit that. I don't care how many think tanks come together, how much information we assimilate, how much we decide that we want to come together and hold hands in circles and pray together. If we don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, we are not going to be able to exhibit his love in the earth. And we need that more than our, and it's going to take not only a community or a fellowship and a church coming together. It's going to also take us individually examining ourselves, as the Bible tells us, that we have to examine ourselves to prove ourselves not to be have a reprobate mind. And really allow the Lord to work in us and minister into us individually and collectively. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it's amazing that the Holy Ghost is working, because this is exactly where I was coming to with the solution. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it tells us, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, you see, a lot of people they say, "Well, I'm a believer of faith. I have faith." You know, and we have to. He's saying, even though I have all faith, so that I can remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And until we come to that point and humble ourselves and go into the humility of Christ, because you see, there was Jesus gave the example of the Pharisee and the tax collector, and the Pharisee was standing up and saying, "I pay my tithes, I do this and I do that." But yeah, that's an act of faith. And that's the act of believing that if I do this, it's going to happen. But Jesus said, because the tax collector is beating his chest and saying, "Lord, have mercy upon me," because he realized there's some filth there. You see, we got to get to that point of recognize who we are with God, not with man. How man is perceiving me, because how I dress, how I look,
I have my hat on today. I'm walking with my high heels. I have my suit. I'm impressing people. I'm dressed in white, so I must be holy. I have my titles. I'm in high position. So I'm truly, I'm pure. No. We have to come to the level of being humble and living in humility with each other. He said, if I do have not charity, I am becoming a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding of all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, I have not charity, I am nothing. And if we are seen in the eyes of God like that, we can assemble. We can come before each other and we can say pretty and nice things and make them sound good in the ears of people. But if it is not true in the eyes of God, it will amount to nothing. It will become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal without no action, no relevant action available. And the Bible says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profits me nothing. So if I go out and I feed the poor, but it's not in my heart, I'm not doing it because I really care for these people. I'm doing it to be seen. I'm just going and taking all of these things to feed in Yemen because then my name will be visible on the news saying that my charity did this and I will collect more money. It will be nothing before God. Nothing. But if you have the heart and the purity to say, I want to help Yemen, I want to help Sudan, I want to stop this war in Syria, I want to stop the wars in Afghanistan because it's causing harm. It is hurting the children, just the weapons alone. It's hurting the children. The chemicals that are spilling out. You go sit in the midst of a gunpowder pile for 6 months and see how you will come out.
Yes.
If you don't have the pureness in your heart for the children even, and you stand and you talk and you say, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, how will God perceive you? How will he judge you in this hour? And he says, it will profit me nothing. He says, for, listen to this very well, charity suffereth wrong in its kind. So even you may not have a dime in your cupboard, but you will take what you have to give. Maybe you will have plenty in abundance, but you're sitting on it because you have to be the highest one on the pile. You have to say that I'm wealthy and I'm paying more taxes and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. See how the Lord will judge you. He will judge you by his word. He says, charity suffered wrong. So you're going to feel some pain. You're going to feel some sorrow. And it is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Is not easily provoked. I'm praying that someone will hear me today, and it thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, willing to bear the burdens on your back, willing to sit and suffer long before the Lord. Willing to spend some time with him and then don't just make expedient decisions that will cause harm to millions of people. I'm praying that someone will hear me overseas, and someone will hear me in Russia, someone will hear me in China, that someone will hear me in this America, that someone will hear me in Africa, that someone will hear me in the various parts of this world. And that they will hear and that they will listen to the word of the Lord. It says it beareth all things. Believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. How are you enduring? Oh, and I'm talking to the body of Christ too. So your sister said this to you, so you pain them for a whole week and you can't wait to go and tell somebody. How are you bearing all things? How are you rejoicing in all things? Some things are very painful. Yes, you should have a support system, but let it be in prayer. Let it be seeking comfort. Let it be drawing you to the Lord. But the Lord, don't sharpen your arm with darkness. Don't sharpen your arm with darkness. And the Bible says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but we, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. He says, when I was a child, it's time to grow up. I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. So if you're in that child stage, when you're sitting on the floor and somebody comes and grabs your drinking cup, you will scream. You will holler. You will yell. When somebody hits you, you're ready to fight them back. But now that you are grown up, it's time for change. Time for the manifestation of the power of the Holy Ghost to rule in the throne of your heart. And for those who don't know the Lord, who is in a church, that won't teach you those things, that won't teach you how to have that relationship with God, but just come give you a glorified thing that's filling and tickling your ears, the Lord's going to meet you one day. You will meet the Lord. And the Bible says every knee will bow, but the question is when you bow, will you go to hell or will you go to heaven? Hallelujah. It says, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also I am known. And now about it faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of these is charity. I say it again, the greatest of these is charity. If you have no feelings and no emotions to see a child that's sitting and starving, a child that has to go out into the open where there's a temperature of 130 and more, and is out there burning and barely getting water, and you have no charity in your heart, Abba, Father. But you say, let's kill more. Let's do more. El Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
He's sitting on his throne, and he's saying to drag your thrones to his gates so he can judge you. El Yahweh is sitting on his throne. Drag your kingdom gates, thrones to his gates so he can judge them. And let's see who is God. And I say that because it pities my eyes to see the children crying out, the children hungry, the children burning up in 130 degrees because they've been driven from their home. and nobody cares. Babies, but yet they have no faith because no one see them, no charity in the heart. Because I got to harden my heart up, because if I let myself go, then I won't be elite anymore. I won't have my power anymore. I won't have my control. If you are a Christian, if you are a Christian, hear thus says the word of God. Hear what the Lord is saying in his word. Charity is the greatest of them all. I finish, and Minister Belinda, please share your final words with the body of Christ.
Oh, Lord. This scripture means a lot to me, because that was the first calling of God. And he said, I called you into a ministry of love. It scared me, but he would give me these scriptures over and over. He would call me out, and a lady pronounced them over me and told things nobody could have known but other than God. And I've been taught by the Lord. That's why I can say, he told me, he says, unless you and all mankind comes to the cross and bows down, you have no revelation what true love means. And it's this word. You can have a meeting as much as you want. You can have programs as much as you want. But if it is not based in this, then you will not see any production in that event. I see children. God, let me go with these children, walk with them. And they had all these community programs. But I watched these same children go back to the same environment, the same bondage, and no change. And people wanted me to connect, and God said, you will not, because it's a waste of time. And I said, Lord, he said, understand, it is power in this word. That's what moves the nations. That's what moves healing. But it comes by the true divine word, and you have to line up with it. This word is black and white, but it is made to come off of this black and white and move. But it will not move unless it is this word. Not my love, not your love, but God's word. How do we come together in this group that we're having right now on this radio? Who binds us together? The love of God, the word of God. You got to love this word. He tells us this all through his scriptures. Love me with your whole heart, with your whole soul, mind, and body. Serve me, not lukewarm. He said he'll spur us out. So it originates, and when Jesus died, he said, he gave us an example. What love was when you lay your life down for your brother? Love took the stripes. Love was cut open. Blood ran down off of his body. Water came out with that blood. There's power in this word, power in that love. But none of it works without God, the true divine love of God. It is the very root and substance of God Almighty. It's what can make us come together, lay our differences down. Because, see, when you pick up the cross, you got to lay them differences down. I can't hate my brother and love God. And, if they have these meetings, they're saying something that lines up with God. But are they going to deny their personalities, or are they going to submit themselves to this word? It is all in God. He said, I am and I am. I am the Alpha and the Omega. There ain't no other word. There ain't no way you could get around and build up a. He said, if a man or a woman, whoever, if a man build this house and God don't build it, what do he say? You build it in vain? That's why he said the greatest thing he left us and will move anything is love. Why we have starvation in countries and don't, and we got, it's horrible. It's horrible. We say it so easily. We lie to go with other people's countries. And we have no concern for these people dying. Families, you know, part of their brains up on the ceiling. Children watching this, the whole family, mama, daddy, grandpa, uncles, dead for what?
You know, I'm not putting the blame on one particular area, but what I'm saying is that all of the leaders need to examine themselves.
Yes.
Even in the body of Christ, we all need to examine ourselves. We need to examine ourselves and say, are we really aligned with God or not? Minister Gloria, please share your final words.
Going back to the original two questions, the original two statements, and there the disciples were so concerned about the material things. You know, and it reminds me about the mite of the widow in Luke 21:1. It says, and he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw a poor widow putting in two small copper coins, and he said, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them, for they are all out of their surplus put into the offering, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. And while some were talking about the temple, that it was adorned with beautiful stones and votive gifts, he said, as for these things which you are looking at, the day will come in which there will not be left one stone upon another which will not be torn down. God is always concerned with the things of our heart, with the condition of the heart of each person. And he's not concerned with the material things, even to the point of the temple. They're asking him about the temple, and he's really talking to them about something else. He's saying to them, don't be concerned about these things. You're going to hear about wars and rumors of wars. In other words, everything around you is going to come down. Everything that we've leaned on, put our trust in, the idols, everything is going to come down. And he's looking at the heart of this poor woman. She only put in a couple of cents, but it said a lot about her heart. And I just wanted to go back. I had something here that I wanted to say. He's saying to them, In Luke 21:34-36, be on your guard so that your hearts will not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap. He says the day is coming. The day of the end is coming, and with it is coming great suffering. There will be great deception. There will be people that will try to impersonate him. They will come saying that they are the Christ. There are deceivers coming. There's wars coming. Rumors of wars are coming. There will be shakings in the earth. But he's saying to them, if your heart is set on him, they don't have to worry about all of that because they have a hope of salvation. There's an eternal life. And even though
Amen. And that is, we talked about that too a little bit on last week on the program where we spoke about the solution. And there's going to be many solutions in the Word of God, but the first thing is having that relationship with God and allow him to examine you, allow him to work through you, allow him to prune and shape you into his likeness. And he loves all of us. He loves us so dearly. But it's a matter of us opening our hearts to receive him and allow him to work in us the way he wants to, not the way that we perceive it or that anyone else around you can ever perceive it. I cannot perceive the way or like God can, because his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. But we can learn of his ways. We can learn of his thoughts, because even said, Lord, let me know thy ways that I might find favor in your sight. But we see before Moses said that he had performed many miracles in the earth, but yet he's coming back to God and he's saying, Lord, let me know thy ways that I might find favor in your sight. And I'm speaking in the book of Exodus 33. That's where you can find it. I say read the full context so that you can get the full word of God that he has to share with you. And I want to say in our final words as well that the Lord loves you dearly, and if you do not know him as your Lord and Savior, I invite for you to just talk to him and tell him that, Lord, I really want to know you. I want you to be my Savior. I want you in my life. I want you to abide in me and with me. The Bible says, he says himself, that if anyone will believe in him, if anyone will believe in him, there's many things he can do for you if you would just believe in him. And he will increase that belief in time. He will give you that faith to know that he is there in time if you just continue to seek him. The Bible says, seek ye the kingdom of God first, and all things will, and his righteousness, and all things will be added. We need it all. We need it all in this time and forever. Now, the Bible tells us that the scriptures that we've been reading in Matthew 24:6-9, it does tell us that these are the beginning of sorrow. So we're not quite there yet, but this is the beginning of sorrow. But I would say that even if we are not there and it's not the time of our Lord's time coming, if you were to, and God forbid this happened, but if any of us were to die, are we in the right path? Or are we on the narrow path where we're going to enter into his gate? That narrow gate where we're going to go and be in the abode of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Or are we going to take a different path, that broadened path that leads to a widened gate where many can go in with you? But it's not a gate of favor. It's a gate of, the Bible says there will be gnashing of teeth. The Bible speaks of many things that will happen in hell. And I don't want anyone to go there. I don't want that for you. I don't want it for me. I don't want it for anyone out there. But I'm not the one that's going to judge you, and I'm not the one that's going to look at you at that time. It will be God. And I can only plead with you now while you have breath, that you will make a choice, make that intelligent decision to serve him, to love him, and to believe him, that you will have an opportunity to enter into the kingdom of God, to enter into heaven at that time. And the Lord bless you all, and we love you. And before we close out, we want to pray. And I'm going to ask Minister Gloria, can you please pray for the body of Christ now?
Amen. That is one of the solutions in Luke 34 to 36. Be on your guard so that your heart will not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and worries of life, and that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of the earth, but keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Father God, we praise you. We thank you for your word to us today. Such mercy and grace, dear God, to alert us, dear God, to strengthen us, to help us to gird up, dear God,
in prayer and to always be before you, Father God, and to maintain that relationship of covenant and sweet fellowship with you, dear Lord. Father, thank you for the assurance of salvation and for eternal life, dear God. Thank you for the hope of eternal life. Thank you for the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, dear God. Thank you that you are mindful of us, dear God, that you have remembered us, dear Father God, and that you want us to be with you eternally, dear God. Thank you for teaching us not to look to the things of this world, dear God, but to be mindful of the condition of our heart and our standing before you, Father God, that everything of our lives should give you glory and that we should honor you in every way, dear God. And we thank you, Father, for all that you've taught us, for the wisdom of your word, and because it keeps us, dear God. Thank you that it should transform our hearts and renew our minds, dear God. And we pray always, dear God, to be acceptable to you, dear God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. And I just want to leave a friendly reminder to the body of Christ. If you are listening out there, remember, Cherokee is the greatest of them all. It has no color. It has no race. It has no age. It has no barriers. It's unconditional, agape. And let's do it. Let's do it for Christ. In Jesus' mighty name. God bless you all. We thank you for listening in. We love you all, Russia. We love you, China. We love you, Japan, that have been listening in. We also love you all over the world, UK. Just want to give a shout-out to the United States of America. We bless you all. And may you continue to listen as well. Canada, we love you. And Australia, God bless you all, and we'll continue to keep lifting all of you up in prayer. And we ask that you do the same for us. God bless you, and may the grace of God be with you. May he empower and equip you for the days to come. In Jesus' mighty name, God bless you all.